Praise the Lord. He is the eye in the storm, right? He is God Almighty. I want to welcome any visitors we have this morning. We definitely want to encourage you to fill out little visitors thingy. Whatever it's called. And it's out in the foyer there, and I'm sure some of the guys here can get you a visitor's pass. We definitely want you to fill that out, and we want to start contacting you and welcoming you into our church family if that's what God's leading you to do. I want to take just a minute to thank everyone for praying for me. I sound a little selfish, but I have been struggling physically, and God's good, though, isn't he? God's good, and he's able, and he loves me, and he loves you. And I do want to thank Paul, man, for stepping in. He's done a great job. I've been listening on the internet and his sermons. And, man, y'all going to fire me and hire him. And just playing. But thank you, brother. I appreciate it, man. And the deacons have all approved. And Paul's going to be teaching through the Bible on Sunday night, starting like next Sunday, right? I think the book of James. I'm going to steal your thunder. But he's going to be teaching through the book of James. That's going to give me a little break for the next 3 or 4 months until I can find the right medicine that's going to help me out there. So I appreciate that. And I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be a blessing. He's a great Bible teacher, so I'm looking forward to that for sure. So you guys come out on Sunday night and be blessed. Be blessed. All right, let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for this opportunity. Lord, I do thank you that for my church family, Lord. I love them, and they love us, my wife and I, and we just appreciate them so much. Thank you for the men and the leaders of this church. Thank you for all the workers inside and outside, and gets all these things done with the Compassion House Ministries and every other ministry that goes on here. Lord, thank you, Lord, that you spared our church and the building here from, you know, this tornado damage, Lord. And we do lift up the ones that have been hurt by this tornado and the crazy weather. And Lord, we just pray if there's anything that we can do for them, that we reach out as a church body and help. And Lord, thank you for the Sunday night scene tonight. Maybe we can all give some money to that little fund tonight, and we'll use that to glorify you and bring people to Christ that may not be saved, and they can see the Christians that are actually doing something and loving people and helping. And Lord, we know that love is a verb, and we want to be a doer, not a hearer only. Father, we give you this time and ask you to bless me, help me go through this message that I've been waiting 2 whole weeks to deliver. Thank you for that, Jesus. And bless this time, Father. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. I actually prepared this message a week prior to the storm coming through. So don't think I'm trying to capitalize on the storm here, but you know, God knows what he's doing. And so we're going to be coming out of Matthew, if you have your Bible. Matthew chapter 14. So if you want to turn there. Matthew chapter 14, verse 22 through 33. 22 through 33. It's a familiar Bible verse. We're going to read through it, and then we're going to break it down. I'm going to try to share with you what I feel like the Lord's put on my heart this morning. Matthew 14, 22 through 33. All right, let's read. And then this is, you know, Jesus had already fed the 5,000 and the fish and the loaves and, you know, the miracle. And then we're going to pick up from right here. It says immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side while he sent the crowds away. After he had sent the crowds away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. And when it was evening, he was there alone. But the boat was already long distance from the land, battered by the waves, and for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified. And they said, "It's a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take courage. It is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter said to him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." And he said, "Come." And Peter got out on the water and walked on the water and came toward Jesus. But seeing the wind, he became frightened and began to sink. And he cried out, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and took hold of him. And he said to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind stopped. And those who were in the boat worshiped him, saying, "You are certainly God's son." Amen? Amen. A couple things I want to bring out here today is the first one I think was kind of interesting. Jesus came when? On the fourth watch. Does anybody know what time of day that is? Some of you may have looked this up before. It's actually come from an old sailing word. It was sailors. Anybody any sailors in the Navy? We'll count the Marine Corps, Miss Jessie. We did get paid by the Navy, didn't we? But in the Navy, in the military, they call the fire watch. And they would put people on fire watch. And it was like the watch would go from 6 in the afternoon to 9, and 9 to 12, and 12 to 3 in the morning, and from 3 to 6 in the morning. So Jesus come walking across the water, what time? 23 in the morning to 6 in the morning. No, it was probably pretty dark. You know, they had the stars and the moon and everything like that. But Jesus came walking on the water to them somewhere between 3 and 6 o'clock in the morning. Real early in the morning. And no wonder it kind of freaked them out a little bit and scared them, because, you know, the waves and winds and it was crashing against their boat. And here comes Jesus walking over, you know, through the water real early in the morning. And it says in the scripture that their boat was battered. If you look up that word battered, it means distressed. Okay, harnessed. It means harnessed by a headwind. Kept getting battered and battered. And it actually causes injury with repeated blows. Now, doesn't life sometimes feel like it's beating you up? You know, life sometimes can feel like that it's beating us up. That we're given hammered and hammered and beat up. I mean, even with just the tornado and the victims, I mean, literally, their properties have been beaten up and damaged. And this is what was happening to their boat as the waves were crashing in. It was being battered. Okay? The second word that's used there is it says that the wind was contrary. What does that word mean? Contrary. So I really didn't know. I had to look it up. It means, in the Greek, it means to be opposite. It means to come against, to oppose. Or like pushing or pulling in a different direction. Do you ever feel like life that sometimes can pull you in a different direction? Situations in life, sometimes it feels like it's pushing you down or pulling against you. You know? Amen? That happens in life. And we find ourselves in situations where it's contrary. Or we find our boat that we're sailing along in life in is getting beat by the winds and waves and trials and tribulations of life. Okay, here's one of the points that I really want to make in this message is that we can be as positive as we want to. And I'm a pretty positive, optimistic guy. You can ask my wife. I try to see things positive. You know, I try to count on anything joy, like the Bible says, and be positive and optimistic, you know. And it really, at the end of this whole thing, God's going to win, isn't he? I mean, we're going to heaven. You know, the devil's going to be destroyed and sent to the lake of fire and banished forever and all that. You know, and we're going to win in the end for sure. But guys, the Bible teaches us that there's a storm coming. It really does. We can be positive, optimistic, but you want to understand this, that there's a storm coming. Life may be great right now for some of you. Life may be going really smooth and good. But there's a storm coming. It may be sunny skies right now in your life. Young folks may think you got the world by the tail. But there's a storm coming. Would you just say amen for some of you guys have been around for a while? Okay. Some of you may be happy. You may be very happy with the new leadership of our country now. Some people are not, obviously. Well, they'll be all right. But some folks are really happy with the leadership of our country. I'm telling you guys, right? What's coming? There's a storm coming. The Bible tells us very clearly. Okay, I'm here today to say forewarned is forearmed. Forewarned is forearmed. In other words, if we had a little scout team here and we were some kind of military situation and we were going to Morven, no offense to Morven, and we were going to try to come against Morven, we'd send out a little spy team, kind of like they did in the Old Testament, right? We'd send out a little scout team. And they'd go down there and they'd check it out and come back and report to the deacons and they'd say, hey, if we go down that road there, they can ambush us right over here. Well, forewarned is forearmed. In other words, with this information, we can do what? We can arm ourselves. We can prepare ourselves. We can make better decisions. We can make better judgment calls. We can go around them. We can sidetrack them. Whatever, But guys, a storm is coming in America. 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Listen to this. It says, but know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving. Guys, does this sound familiar? Yeah. Unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal. Now, let me stop here. These are not my words, right, guys? This is the Word of God. This is what God's warning us ahead of time. This is coming. And this, again, let's be optimistic and let's be positive. But the truth of the Word of God says that there's going to be people that will be despisers of good. There will be traitors. Headstrong. Haughty. What does haughty mean? He's like stuck the nose up in the air. Prideful. Goody-two-shoes. Better than everybody else. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness but denying its power. And the Bible tells us to stay away, to turn away, to get away from those kind of folks. Amen? I want to talk to you about mooring lines. We're on this Navy boat, What is a mooring line? Okay. Yeah. I'm a little interactive preacher, so I'm going to get you to talk to me once in a while. Is that all right? Okay. A mooring line, if some of you don't know, a mooring line is like a rope or a cable on a boat, a small boat or big boat. I've been on cruises. I have some big mooring lines, aren't they? Holding those cruise ships. But a mooring line, a boat or a ship may have two or three or four or five or six mooring lines. It's basically a rope that goes off into the dock and anchors off into the dock on this side and goes on here and anchors out on this side. Okay, and anchors that boat. So that boat can stay what? Stay steady. It'll help move. So you bass fishing when you got little tiny mooring lines on an anchor on each end, right? I see these new bass boats that got these things that come down on the back. Anyway, getting sidetracked. Mooring lines go out, and it holds the boat from getting battered Okay? And beat up when the winds and waves and trials and tribulations of life come, that boat will stay what? Somewhat steady. Because if it does not have mooring lines, then that boat can be tossed out to sea and just rammed up against rocks and banged into the dock. It can cause a lot of destruction and a lot of heartache and a lot of damage. You get the point there? So with mooring lines, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, it says, "Forsake not the assemblings of yourselves together, as is in the manner that some folks do, but exhorting and encouraging one another, so that much the more you will see this." In other words, do this, especially when you see the day of the Lord coming. The day of the Lord is approaching. In other words, we have to stick together. We have to stay together because there is storms coming. Amen? Now, I'm going to suggest 12 mooring lines for you. Lines. 12 mooring lines. And I'm going to spend about 10 minutes on each one. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. You're like, "Whew, man, I'm getting hungry already." All right, so 12 mooring lines. I want to really encourage you guys to cast out, to keep your ship. Now, some of you have great mooring lines right now in your life. And when the winds and waves and trials and tribulations of life come, your boat keeps pretty steady. And that's great. There's a lot of folks, there's folks maybe listening on the internet, on our website, you know, and I want you to really pay attention to this, okay? So here's 12 mooring lines I just want to run past you. Okay? One is Sunday school. Okay? I want to encourage you, if you can, don't feel guilty when I list all these things, but if you can, your work schedule, your family schedule, if you can, Sunday school is a great mooring line. Right, guys? You get to know each other in a smaller group setting, and you become friends, and you really get to really study the Word. You have a good Sunday school teacher that's prepared, that kind of thing, right? So that's a mooring line that you can cast out. Because we know what's coming? A storm's coming, okay? So Sunday school is a great mooring line. The second one, and this is mainly for the folks that may be listening on the internet, is Sunday morning worship. Right? Do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together, especially we know the day of the Lord's approaching, you know? So Sunday morning service, making that commitment to cast out your mooring line, and be faithful to Sunday morning service. Sunday night service is a great mooring line that you cast out. I know it's busy and the Super Bowl is coming up, and I know everybody, you know, has work schedules, and sometimes you don't feel like it. I understand that. You know, no guilt here at all, but Sunday night is a good, you know, and I'm really excited about Paul teaching, you know, taking the book of James and going right through that. I think that's going to be awesome, man. We can grow in the knowledge of the Lord. That's what Paul said, right? Paul said he prayed and hoped above everything that we would grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus and the power of His resurrection. So Sunday night would be a great time. Come casual. I think, Paul, you're going to come down here, right? Plan on coming down here with a little Sunday school podium thing and just really teach, have an interactive, people can ask questions and that kind of thing. So I think it would be a great time to grow in the Lord. So Sunday night could be a good what? Mooring line. Here's another one. You guys know where I'm going, right? Wednesday night. And I miss Wednesday night. I was bass fishing. But, not really. Jesse's like, "Hey, wait a minute." But, no. But I've been really digging Wednesday night. I mean, it's been, anybody know what I'm talking about? I've enjoyed it. We've had some practical lessons on Wednesday night. I've tried to get into some practical life lessons, you know, that we can grow. We have a little, 20, 20 minutes or so, a little study and talk, and everybody gets to share. And then we have a little testimonial time, a little prayer time. And I think it's been fruitful. I do. So Wednesday night is a great way to cast out that mooring line, make a commitment, and come on. And you can even serve, right, in the youth and everything that's going on. Next mooring line, women's ministry. Amen? Women's ministry, that if you guys, ladies, if you want to get committed to women's ministry, please see some of the folks here and get involved in that. The men's brotherhood. Wow, we're having another meeting coming up, right, Glenn? And so if you men, you know, invite another man. It's a great way to get other men saved, other young men. Invite them in. So get involved in the men's ministry, the men's brotherhood. That's a great mooring line. Friendship fellowship. That's what I kind of call it. I kind of tagged it. Friendship fellowship. As we make friends, we hang out with each other and go out to eat and invite each other over to each other's homes. Would y'all like that? I mean, some of you probably do that already. But being more mindful, man. I appreciate you guys inviting us over, Heath and them. And even though I limped out again, man, I got a pattern on her. Just be patient with me. But friendship fellowship, this is a great way to build some friendship. Invite some folks over to your house and cook for them. Invite them over and hang out. Do a little Bible study. Or just hang out and enjoy each other's company. You know, that's a mooring line. Y'all think that is? That's definitely a mooring line. We need friends. We need good, positive friends in our life. Personal Bible study, another mooring line that you can cast out. Okay? A lot of folks don't really study the Bible. And I don't mean that negatively, but I want to highly encourage you to maybe get in the habit of start studying the Word. That's a mooring line, personal. Personal prayer time. Personal prayer time is another good mooring line that you can cast out. If it's 5 minutes a day, great. If it's 20 minutes a day, that's great. As long as you have a little bit of personal prayer time with the Lord, that's a great mooring line that you can cast out. Personal worship time. Anybody know what I mean by personal worship time? Just getting along maybe with the Lord and worshiping the Lord. And you know, whether it's a song or music. Anybody ever been going down the road and you had a good worship song on and you just started crying and just, you know, it just the Lord just really hit you, you know, and just, man, just got real emotional. I have, man. Those are precious times, aren't they? When the Lord just really ministers to your heart and your spirit, and that, you know, that can happen in your car, or truck, driving down the road, or, you know, by yourself or with your spouse. You know, that personal worship time. Those are mooring lines that we need to cast out because we know that that storm is coming. Two more. Discipleship groups. I think somebody, was it Bonnie? Was you doing a discipleship group online or something like that? Or was that you? Was it somebody else? Oh, maybe somebody else. I heard somebody talking how they're doing a little discipleship online and doing different things. But if you can get involved in a good discipleship group, a specific group on certain things, that's a great mooring line. Radio and television teachers. I mean, how many loves listening to Dr. Jeremiah? David Jeremiah or Charles Stanley preached a message the other day. Man, I thought I was going to come out of my car. It was great. So those are good mooring lines, especially if you travel a lot. You know, tune into a little WAFT or K-Love or whatever, you know, and here's these television. I'm not really crazy about television preachers, but more of the radio preachers I like, you know. You choose the ones. That's a mooring line. You're staying connected with the Word of God, right? As you're traveling down the road, going somewhere, that's a mooring line. You see, guys, there's a 12. Try to go through them real fast because I don't want to spend a lot of time with that. But it's important, though. All right, so Peter had three major problems. He had no mooring lines. He did not recognize Jesus at first. And he took his eyes off Jesus once he did. So those are three things that we can really, really focus on. That we need to have some mooring lines. We talked about that. We need to be able to recognize Jesus. In other words, you need to be born again. You need to be saved. You need to be a child of God. Because, you know, if you're not born again or saved, you're not giving your life to Christ, you know, place your faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, you're not a child of God, right? And so you're not even really going to recognize the Father. You're basically lost. So if you're here today and you want to give your life to Christ, I'm going to ask if you can do it right there in your seat or at home. Or I'm going to ask you earlier if you want to come down and we'll pray with you. That'd be great. In other words, to be able to recognize God, we have to know Him. Right, guys? You've had to know God to be able to recognize Him, you know. And He's there. He loves you. He loves you with an everlasting love. And then the third thing that Peter did is he took his eyes off Christ. And that's the one thing we don't want to get into, guys. We don't want to take our eyes off Jesus. Right? Cast your mooring lines and make a commitment. Decide what kind of mooring lines you want in your life. Cast that mooring line out there and make a commitment and stick with it. Keep your eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He is the anchor of our soul. Amen? Hebrews 6:19 says, "This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which enters the presence behind the veil." That's a whole other sermon and topic I could talk about. But Jesus is our hope. He's the blessed hope. Amen? He is the anchor of our soul. Jesus is our hope in the time of trouble. Jesus is our anchor. Jesus told them, I'm closing now, Jesus told them, take courage. He said this. Hey, look, guys. He said, take courage. He said, take it. He said, take courage. Some of your translations will say, Jesus told him to be of good cheer. When Jesus came walking across that water, and Peter was like, huh? What? Jesus, is that you? And Jesus was like, yes, it's me. He said, take courage and be of good cheer. And then Peter like doubted again. You're like, well, if that really is you, Lord, tell me to walk out on the water. I bet Jesus was getting frustrated with him. But based on what he told him, I really think he did. Jesus says, take courage and be of good cheer. And here it is, ready? When you look that up in the Greek and you combine those two words in both translations, you look in the Greek, this is what Jesus was telling them. This right here is what he's telling them. He was wanting Peter to go like this. Hey, whoa, that's Jesus. Whoa. We're going to be all right. Wind and waves and batters and winds, trials and tribulations, wind, waves. There's Jesus. He wanted to be a good cheer. And excuse my metaphor here, but it's kind of like a football, you know, like a football team. It's got a superstar, you know, player. You know, you've seen the movies, right? And they're losing by 6 points, and the superstar had to go to the locker room because he got something wrong. You know, they got like four downs left. And all of a sudden, the crowd looks over there. And here comes jogging out of the locker room, the big old giant superstar, right? And what does the crowd do? They go crazy. Yes, Baba! He scores a touchdown every time he puts his hands on the ball. And they're excited, man. They're excited. Here he comes. Heisman Trophy winner. They know they're going to win now because as soon as they just get the ball to Bubba, he's getting the touchdown and we win it. Guys, Jesus is the Heisman Trophy winner every year for the last 2,000 years. Amen. He is the anchor of our soul. He is Jesus, our Savior. So when he walked out on that water, man, Peter should have said, hey, fellas, that's Jesus. We're going to be all right, man. Instead of the old ye of little faith, right? But we learn from Peter, don't we? We learn from everybody, hopefully. Amen. When Jesus stepped into the boat, the wind stopped. Two things, fellas, ladies, young folks and children, keep your eyes on Jesus. When it seems like I might be struggling at school and, you know, things not working out quite like you are, maybe some kids are picking on you. So I don't know. You know, we, even the kids go through little trials and tribulations at school, and you know, middle school, high school. Keep your eyes on Jesus, right? Cast out those mooring lines and stay committed to your mooring lines. Like the verse says in the video, Deuteronomy 31:6 says, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid and terrified because of them or that or whatever's happening in your life. For the Lord your God is with you. He will never leave you and never forsake you." Amen. I love you guys. Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for this word. Lord, it's encouraged me, and I hope it's encouraged my brothers and sisters. Lord, if there's one here today that does not know you as their personal Savior, I ask that they will find it with themselves to come down and talk with me and pray with me, and I'd be glad to talk with them. And if not, they can go home tonight and they can just get alone right in their living room, and they can ask Christ to come in their life as their Savior. I pray if there's anyone that's struggling with anything, they want to have some prayer time, they can come down here and have some prayer time with me, and or any of these men that may come down if we had a flood at the altar, Lord. Lord, we love you, and we thank you for the opportunity to freely discuss and teach and preach your word in America. Bless your holy name. Lord, I ask you to bless tonight, that we have a good sing and have a good time, and you'll be lifted up. You'll be glorified. And you'll be honored. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.